Turning your Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 this morning. Last time we were together, we looked at the beginning part of this chapter, and we kind of worked through Paul's defense. He's almost acting as a lawyer here in defense of who he is, his identity as an apostle of Jesus Christ. We talked about him being one who is sent by Christ, one who is free in Christ, one who is an eyewitness of Christ, one who is a laborer for Christ. The evidence that Paul pointed at was, look at you, church. Look at who you once were and now how the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ has changed your life. And Paul being an apostle specifically sent by God, and you can read about that in the book of Acts chapter 9 or chapter 22 or chapter 26. It's recorded three different places. And Jesus Christ has sent Paul to minister the gospel to the Gentile world. And the Corinthians have benefited from that. And in Paul's defense, he talked about the charges that were against him, and he gave the case for his identity as an apostle and for the church, the importance that they recognize who an apostle is. Today we're going to look at the convictions of Paul. You know, really, what does he believe? As an apostle of Jesus Christ, as one who has been sent by God, who has been an eyewitness of Christ, who has been tasked with the duty to minister the gospel. And if you've been with us through this study in this letter, that is very frequent. Gospel, gospel, gospel. If that word doesn't communicate to you, what it means is the good news. And I trust that communicates good news. We like that, right? We like to receive the good news from the doctor. We like to receive the good news about our finances, whatever it might be. We like the good news. And you know what? The Bible's got good news. And the term is gospel. And it's the good news of Jesus Christ, God's Son, the Savior. I want us to take a look at this text this morning, chapter 9 of 1 Corinthians. I'll begin reading at verse 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 15. But I have used none of these things, referencing what he has talked about previously about how a minister is to be supported for the ministry of the gospel. Paul begins here by saying, I have used none of these things, neither have I written these things, that it should be so done unto me. For it were better for me to die than that any man should make my glorying void or empty. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is me, woe is unto me, if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. Well, what is my reward then? Verse 18. Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. Verse 21, to them that are without the law as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be a partaker thereof with you. Well, I trust as we went through that you caught a bit of the heart of this man. You see, the Apostle Paul has been tasked with a delicate thing here. Because here he is, he's talking about his apostleship and what it means to be an apostle. And he has been called by God with a specific task. But yet he is to talk about it in such a way that is not drawing attention to himself, but yet to Christ. That's hard to do. And I'm sure at this point, as he is penning these words, he was real glad for the Spirit's inspiration. He's real glad for that he can say that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And that this Scripture was not something that just comes out of a man, but it was given by God, and he wrote it down. Because God wanted his apostles to be respected for who they were, his messengers, declaring his word, his revelation to his church, to be the foundation of this church, that his church might have solid footing. And God chose to use these men, apostles, and Paul being one of them, and Paul being used to write a majority of this New Testament portion of our Bibles. Paul's just given a powerful defense confronting the charges against him. How the church is looking at him in a way that is disrespectful. And we've seen that. It is almost as if the Apostle Paul, he has come and he's planted the church, but now that he has gone 4 or 5 years, he is no longer respected in one of authority, but he's just one of all these different teachers that are in the church. And yet Paul does not want to exalt himself. What he is doing is he is exalting the role of an apostle in the church and him being one of them. He's confronted the charges that were against him. He's stated his case using the testimonies from life, the law, his labors, the Levitical priesthood, and most importantly, the Lord's own words. And we looked at that last time. Why is he so compelled to do this? Why is this so very important? It is important because what the Apostle Paul is declaring in this letter and other letters, the church needs to hear, and they need to understand that it is words from God. And they need to understand that they come across with an authority. And the apostles carry that authority because they were sent by Jesus Christ. As we look at this text, I want us to first of all look here at verse 15, where we see a humility of Paul, where we see Paul that where he is deflecting the praise and he's giving it to God. But I have used none of these things. And what he's talking about is he's talked about how the church should support their ministers, and for the declaring of the truth and of the gospel, they are to be supported. I mean, this just makes sense if you look at life and the examples. And he talked about being a soldier and about being a farmer. He talked about how the Levitical priesthood, they lived off of their role of being priests in the temple. But Paul wants the Corinthian church to not accuse him of just saying these things just so that he can exalt himself and become someone great. And so, and this is, I so appreciate his heart here, because what he knows, he's got authority. He knows he has got God-given power. But he says, I have used none of those things. Neither have I written these, verse 15, that it should be done unto me. For it would be better if I were to die than that any man should make my glorying void. Paul did not want to give anyone a reason to accuse him of using his apostolic position and authority for his own benefit. Let me just stop there. Do you think that would have been a temptation? I mean, think about this. There were not very many apostles. Apostle Paul was the apostle that went to the Corinthian church. And there would have been huge temptation to abuse authority. And this is why the tender humility of Paul is such a very important thing. You know, I want to call it a meekness. He knew how to be strong, but that it be strong appropriately. You know, I'm learning that's an important role, and it's an important thing for us as believers, to be meek. We've got to be confident in what we believe. We have to stand strong, but it needs to be done appropriately. It needs to be done with humility. It needs to be done understanding who we really are before God. He didn't want to give the church any room for accusation. For example, he could have required that every church provide for him lodging and food while he was in their city. He could have even asked for a salary, seeing as how he brought them the gospel. Hey, while I'm living with you, I want so many shekels a week, and I want a roof over my head and meals. He didn't do that, did he? He didn't. Testimony in the book of Acts tells us he went and he found tents to make. Found somebody that made tents and started making tents. Why? He realizes that if he would walk in and say, hey, I need this and I need this. Hey, I'm preaching here. So come on. He realizes that this would compromise his reputation and it would detract from his central mission. His central mission is not to make a living. His central mission is not to acquire enough to buy a home or to buy the best mule to travel places, not to get the state cabin on the sailing vessel. No, his central mission was the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And one thing that I learned as I studied this, and if we take nothing else from this text, learn this. If that is our central mission, then what do we have left but then to trust that God provide? Did Paul need to eat? Yeah, he needed to eat. He's a man. Did Paul need lodging? Sure. Did Paul need some funds to stay clothed and travel? Yeah. Did he ask for it? Did he require it? Did he say, I'm coming into your town, get ready? He didn't ask for money. He trusted that God would provide, and he did. That ministered my heart. May I never require pay for the preaching of God's word. The flip side of that is this. The message to the church is what? You tell me. What would be the message to the church? The message to the church is a support, right? It's very interesting how it goes both ways, doesn't it? This is God's church, and God does it His way. And so we as people, let's not get in the way. Paul boasted in the power of the gospel. He could trust in the Lord of the gospel, even if it meant dying in the process. He'd rather die than have people accuse him or steal his glorying in the gospel because they are seeing inconsistencies in his life. Wow. Someone emailed me just 2 weeks ago. They had been reading ahead in 1 Corinthians. How dare you read ahead? And they read chapter 9 and they said, "Pastor, we're going to pray for you. This one looks like a hard place for you to preach. It's a hard thing. I didn't realize it till now how hard it is. Thank you for your prayers." Living above reproach, that the gospel is not lost amidst the charges of men. "I have used none of these things, neither have I written these things down just so that I can gain." In verse 16, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." Do you ever wish that you could just hear him say so? Him say these words? When you see this woe, Jesus, he speaks a lot of woes to the Pharisees. And this word woe communicates passion. There's passion behind this. "Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." What is this communicating to you about this apostle? His passion is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in the midst of his preaching, instructing the church in how to live, that the gospel of Jesus Christ is not compromised. Because the Apostle Paul knows and realizes that he is training the next generation to be the ministers of the gospel. Not only do they need to know the power of the gospel, but they need to understand how to live, that the gospel is not compromised by ungodly living. And so he communicating here to this church and to us today that he has this compelling necessity to be declaring the good news of Jesus Christ. The preaching of the gospel is not a means nor a tool being used by the Apostle Paul for his own gain. He's not looking for something here. It's his calling from God. Now, I'm not an apostle of Jesus Christ. I'm not like the Apostle Paul here. I was not sent out by Jesus Christ. But what we're seeing here is how God is using these men to build the foundation of the church, and we can certainly learn from his example. Are you called to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ? This is an important question that you should know how to answer. Is this your calling, believer? That you declare the gospel? It is, isn't it? Maybe your platform is cubicle to cubicle, desk to desk. from your ear to their ear. He has a humility. He has a passion. In verse 17, "For if I do these things willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me." What is he saying there? If he preaches willingly, it is very rewarding. If he comes and he says, "I want to do this. I want to declare the gospel." He sees the blessings. He sees it and experiences God's blessing. But he says, if I were to preach out of compulsion or because I have to, well, the reality is I have to. Because he, as an apostle of Jesus Christ, has been given the stewardship of a specific calling. And that stewardship is the ministry of the gospel to the Gentile world. He received that calling on the road to Damascus. And the days following, as Ananias came and spoke with him. And so he is feeling that calling upon his life. And his point is this: I don't do this because I have to. I do it because I want to, and I am compelled to do it because it is who I've been called to be, a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, what's this reward that he's talking about? Paul knows the depths of the provision of God. And because he knows the depths of the provision of God, he can present the gospel freely. Freely. He can walk into that Corinthian church and he can preach the gospel, and he can walk out of that church and he doesn't need to ask or require that the honorarium fee be sent to his account. Because he serves a God and he is operating under the calling of God to minister the gospel. And if God calls a man, God will provide for that man. Wow. In verse 18, he says, "What is my reward then?" Almost as if he's drawing us in, kind of saying, okay, you got to get something out of this. We're so materialistic, aren't we? Boy, we are. "What is my reward then?" Verse 18. "Verily that when I preach the gospel," what's he say? "I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel." He recognizes his power. He recognizes that he could abuse that power. But his determination, his conviction, his belief, his choice is to say, "I minister the gospel freely to you. Here, partake of the good news. It comes freely. It comes because God sent me to you. He's got my back." What's fascinating is that Paul, in his letters, not only does he declare this, but he declares to the church the importance of supporting and the importance of giving. And you see, the Word of God works together. And God knows that because it's His book, it's His Word. We see this humility. And we see this passion to preach the gospel. As I was studying, I asked myself these questions. Could I do this? Am I doing this? God, is this expected of me? I'm just telling you my questions, okay? Or is this just specific to the Apostle Paul because he's an apostle? How important is it that I never ask for nor require payment in exchange for the preaching of the gospel? Now, you might not have asked yourself those questions, but those are questions I'm asking myself. The burden of truth upon my heart is it's very important that I recognize God will take care of His men and the ministers of the gospel. We've already talked about the flip side of what that means for the church. And the scriptures talk about understanding the position of the preacher, and that the church seek to be used by God in providing for the work of the ministry. I don't have to tell you that. You do a great job, church, of providing for your pastor and for those that preach here. And I want to affirm you for your giving. I want to affirm you for that. And I want to encourage you to continue to do that. As you are able. God, we can trust. And we'll trust Him together, okay? We will trust Him together. Paul admits here in verse 18 that he is a man that has been given great power. So it is important that he understands humility, and I believe he does. In verse 19, for though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. What does this free from all men mean? Paul does not view himself bound to any creeds of some religion or culture or race, status, class. No, this is what he's bound to. He's bound to the boundaries of the law of God as exemplified by Jesus Christ. You know, you see what he says here? He says, for though I be free from all men, for though that is true of me, this is what I have done. I have made myself servant unto all. He's got a servant's heart. This is the apostle who has been given great power and authority in the church. The ability to work miracles. Receives direct revelation from God. He is the servant. He views himself as a servant unto all. Why? Why? I mean, the natural way of thinking is, come on, take advantage of the power. Put on the show. It's interesting that you don't see that in the Bible, the big shows. You don't see that. You see the power of God appropriately placed in the Scriptures, verifying and authenticating His work and His workers. So, what do we see here? Verse 19 kind of opens up the rest of the verses here, introduces verse 20, look, and unto the Jews, I became as Jew. And there's a phrase that you'll see repeated here. All right, unto the Jews, I became as a Jew that I might what? Gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. to them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law of Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain them that are weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means, what? Save some. So we see these words, gain and save. Gain and save. What is he seeking to gain? You know, what's interesting is he's not seeking to gain material profit. He's seeking to gain people for Christ's kingdom. He's not stealing the power, the thunder from Jesus Christ in the gospel. He's not taking that. What he is saying is, in his role in ministry of the gospel, I am seeking to see others come to Christ too. And for him, that's a gain. That's a gain. Have you ever had an opportunity to see someone come to Christ? And you played a role in their life? You were able to gain a brother or a sister. Praise the Lord for the ministry, your ministry. You allowed God to work through you. Now, here he says, under the Jews I became as Jew. Jews, there were many Jews throughout the Roman Empire in these days. A specific race, a specific group of people who've been scattered because of persecution, but they had a specific way of life. And so as Paul was in the midst of Jews, he lived among them and respected the way they lived, the way they talked. But he did not compromise his beliefs in the true doctrine and gospel of Jesus Christ. He lived among them. I mean, indeed, he was a, what, Jew, right? And so he knew that life very well. He also knew and understood that the Jews didn't understand the gospel, the majority of them. And he knew that a Christian, people of the way, as it was called, their way of living was offensive to the Jews. And so what does he do? Does he just walk in and offend them in every aspect? No. He seeks to live among them, respecting who they are, but yet faithful to the gospel. Unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might, what? Gain the Jews. I will live and minister among you, that I might gain you as a brother and sister in Christ. Not compromising, not putting oneself in a compromising situation, but not seeking to offend with indifference. To them that are under the law is under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. What law is being talked about? I think it's the law of Moses. The law of Moses, that was important to the Jewish people and different people, even proselytes, people that were not Jewish by race, but Jewish by belief. Under the law, the Mosaic law was important. What the rabbis taught, the scribes and the Pharisees, what they taught was important. Going to the synagogue, respecting the Sabbath, all of those things were very, very important. And so what should Paul do as he's amongst those people? He could respect the Sabbath. There's nothing wrong with that. He can respect their Sabbath. He can go to their synagogue and minister in the synagogue. That's where they gather. That's where their teaching takes place. And so that's what he did. That's what he did. And then he says to those that were without law, he became as without law. And then he gives this qualification here, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ. And that, And that's an important qualification, obviously, right? Because, hey, he can't just walk in and say, hey, I'm free of the law. I can do whatever I want. No, it's important. He recognizes and respects God's law as exemplified and lived out by Jesus Christ. But there were groups of people that weren't connected with any religious system of belief. Or it was an idolatrous system of belief. It was not the law of Moses. So they were without law. And so he lived and he talked and he preached amongst them. Athens, example. What did he do? He walked into Athens and he starts walking down that road and all these different gods are on the side. You know, this is place. This is not, you know, favorable for Jewish people and beliefs and law system. But what did he do? He quoted their poet. He engaged their philosophers. I mean, he was right there with them. Didn't compromise. But he took the gospel to them. He wasn't indifferent. He respected them, their life, the way they lived, their culture. But he wasn't bound by that. He was bound by the law of God in Jesus Christ. Why? That he might gain them, might gain some brothers and sisters in Christ. To the weak, he became as weak. Weak, small in stature, small in status, those that don't have a lot of power, those that don't have a big voice. You know what that tells me? Is that the Apostle Paul wasn't afraid to walk up to the little boy in the corner and sit down with him and talk to him. Or he wasn't afraid to, or he saw it as important to go over to the widow's home and minister to the widow. Make sure she knew about Jesus. Oh yeah, flocks and crowds of people might have been banging at the door. But no, dear lady, you're important. You're precious. It tells me he ministered to the weak. Well, that I might by all means save some. Does that tell us a little bit about his passion? His heart? The heart to reach people for the gospel. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Oh, church, don't lose sight of the gospel. Pastor Josh, don't lose sight of the gospel. Don't lose sight of the Lord of the gospel. The Lord of the gospel, who is the creator of this universe. The Lord who is able to provide and meet needs. The Lord who will connect people with his truth and change their lives forever. And he wants to use me, and he wants to use you. The Apostle Paul is sharing his convictions. He's sharing his heart. He's sharing his belief. This is who I am. This is the way I live. This is my heart. This is my passion. It is for the gospel that people might be saved. And I dare say that is a great admonition for you. For me. That you make it your goal to minister the gospel. Let that be your passion. Let that be your heart. That might be my heart. That we might gain brothers and sisters in Christ. That this church will grow. That this church will be a mighty lighthouse for Jesus Christ in this community. Father, we thank you for this time and for the ministry of the Apostle Paul, and we have benefited greatly, and we are benefiting greatly from your word as communicated through his hand. God, I thank you for this church, and I thank you for their tremendous support of the ministers of the gospel. Lord, I want to praise and thank you for how you provide and meet needs. And God, I pray that you will grow your church. I pray, Lord, for souls to be saved. We're praying for many by name in our prayer sheet. And Lord, would you work mightily in these hearts and lives? Lord, that your church would grow and more people would be reached. That is our calling. That is our mission. Lord, though we are not apostles as the Apostle Paul, Lord, we have the Spirit of God living within us. And we have the Word of God. And we know, we are told that the Word of God is sharp and powerful. It pierces deep. And God, give us skill. Give us knowledge in using your Word in our ministry with people. In Jesus' name, amen.